This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. So eager to hear from you today. Yes, I am. Let me give you that toll-free number for you to use. That number is 833-288-EWTN, and it is available for you if you are in North America. That's 833-288-3986. It's a toll-free number for you. Pick up the phone, punch in those numbers, join us live here on Women of Grace Live today. Also eager to hear from you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Either option is available for you. There's a chat feature. Both places, do put in your question or your comment. Tell us who you are, where you are. If you're listening some way other than EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, tell us that too. Additionally, you can text us. I'm telling you, abundantly available. You can text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Be sure to tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening, and I will be only too delighted to get your question or comment and address it here on the air. All of those ways you can join us today, and golly gee whiz, as I tell you all the time, I really do appreciate it, and I really do look forward to it. Additionally, I want you to know that we've got all kinds of happy things happening at Women of Grace, and the way that you can find out about our apostolate for women is to go to our website, Women of Grace.com, plural on the women, all one word, Women of Grace, .com is the way that you can get to our website, and you can click on events and you'll see everywhere that we are going to be. And we're looking forward to it this evening. Thursday, today, we have got a beautiful evening of grace lined up for you, and it is free. It's an online event. All you have to do is go out and register. You need to register, of course, and the reason for registering is so that we can send you the link. And it's going to be a beautiful evening. I'll tell you, our regional coordinators that lead these just do a marvelous, marvelous job of it. These often take place in person once a month in most of our regions. There is a Women of Grace, Morning of Grace, or Afternoon of Grace, or Evening of Grace, depending upon the day part that they offer it in. But we do offer it online because we want for you to have that opportunity, and we also want for you to see what it is that Women of Grace is all about. Always hoping that as you discover more about Women of Grace, you will want to join hands with us. And one of the beautiful ways in which you can join hands with us is by leading a group yourself, being a facilitator. We will help that to happen for you. And we encourage you to consider that option. If the Holy Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder, you want to say yes, because that means He has abundant blessings, abundant graces in mind for you. Now, of course, this is the month of November, which we're almost halfway through. Can you believe that? Golly, I don't know where it went. But at any rate, all of that being said, November is the month that the church highlights, casts a great big spotlight on the holy souls in purgatory. Now, we're to be praying for the holy souls all year through, but in the month of November, in a special way, our Holy Mother Church draws our attention to the holy souls in purgatory. And that is what is going to be discussed this evening at this Evening of Grace, what you always wanted to know about purgatory. So I invite you to consider that. We always have a theme and a grace, very Ignatian of us. We have a theme. We have a grace for each of these events. The theme for this particular topic on purgatory is Mary is my spiritual mother who leads me into deeper union with her son, Jesus Christ. And then the grace is I pray for the grace to receive Mary as my spiritual mother and to entrust myself to her for all my necessities, especially my path to Jesus Christ. Why would that be the way it would be? It would be that way because it's very important for us to remember that Our Lady wants to help for us to draw into ever-deepening relationship with her son so that at the end of our life, If we have to have a little stay or a little flyby over purgatory, it's not as long as it might have been without her maternal beatitude and motherly assistance. So we certainly do invite for you to check this out. As I say, it's going to be this evening. It is going to be held from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. tonight. And I think that that would be just a dandy, dandy thing for you to do this evening. So let me set your schedule for you. Join us for this very, very beautiful event. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right there on the air. And I'll take your questions or your comments. Wanted to tell you something else, too. I'm so looking forward to this. Not this weekend, but next weekend, I am going to be in Belton, Texas for the Armor of God Catholic Radio Benefit Banquet. I am so looking forward to this event. Armor of God is a wonderful, wonderful radio partner of EWTN. Our program is heard there. Howdy, hey to all of you out there listening via Armor of God and, of course, all of our other affiliates as well. But I'm going to be there, and I know it's going to be just a spectacular event, and I would love for you to come if you are in that area. The evening is going to begin, it is Saturday, November the 22nd. It begins at 6 o'clock p.m. It's going to close up at 9:15. I'll be giving a talk through the course of that time. We're going to eat. Yay! We're going to eat. There's going to be a cocktail hour. And there is also going to be a heads or tails game that's going to be involved. I cannot imagine what that is exactly, but I'm eager to find out. There will also be a bucket raffle drawing. I like that idea. It just sounds very Texan, doesn't it? In a certain way, a bucket raffle drawing is going to be taking place that evening as well. It's going to be at Christ the King Catholic Church in their parish hall, and that's at 210 East 24th Avenue in Belton, Texas. So if you're in that area and you have not yet registered for this beautiful event, I am truly encouraging you to do that. Go out to our website, womenofgrace.com. You can register right at the website. We've got a link right there for you to make it also very, very easy. And I am hoping that you'll join me. I would love to meet you. I truly, truly would love to meet you. So be sure to come up to me. Tell me you heard through radio. Tell me you listen if you do, just so that I can greet you and be with you. And as an added feature, my husband, Jack Williams, is going to be accompanying me. Yes, he is. So it's kind of like a little twofer there, right? You're going to get both of the Williams, for one visit on your part to come and join us for this beautiful, beautiful event. So do think about it. Please do join us. I would love to see you. It's going to be a lovely time. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right there on the air here. I'm looking forward to talking with you today. It's a beautiful day in the Lord. We've got lots to share, and I'm looking forward to it. Yes, I am. So please pick up the phone. Give us a call. There is no question that is off the board in terms of, topics we like to discuss with regard to our life of faith in Jesus Christ. So do give us a buzz. Looking forward to it. You hear that music. I am Women of Grace. I am Women of Grace. No, I'm Johnette Williams. This is Women of Grace Live. My mind is working in 1,000 directions right now. I've got to rein it in. All of that being said, do give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I crack myself up sometimes. What can I say?
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy as a clam to be with you today. I'm clam happy. Looking forward to hearing from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. inviting you to pick up the phone and to punch in those numbers so that we can take your call today. We have Matthew Gubensky answering the calls. Yes, we do. And he's going to take your call and put it up on the board, and I'll be able to chit chat with you. Another way that you can reach us is by going out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. And I certainly do invite you to put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement right there in the chat feature. Be sure to tell us who you are, where you are. If you're listening in a way other than social media, tell us how you're doing that. Or you can text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait a four-hour response. Put in your question or your comment. And then what I would like for you to do is to tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Know that message and data rates may apply if you use that option. So I am inviting you, of course, to give us a call here today. All kinds of good things coming your way as we make our time through our program today. And as we take a look at what's out there right now, we have Roxanne, who has sent a question in. Pedro Quiles is the collector of all of our messages that come in via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page or via text. And Roxanne is asking for prayers today for Charles Zackel. That's her stepfather. He has metastatic lung cancer. And so let's do that. Let's just begin the program today with a prayer. And you know, I always enjoy praying with you on the air. It's a privilege, really. It's an honor to be able to pray for your intentions and your needs. So if you have a need, maybe you want to call in today, and I'll be happy to take your prayer request, and we'll pray right on the air. So Roxanne, honey, this is for you. Of course, Roxanne, as I mentioned to you, I know her from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had the opportunity to be with her just this weekend when we were at St. Thomas More Catholic Church for the Praise Nation Gala, which was lovely. So let's just say this prayer, Roxanne, together, and I'm inviting all of you, of course, to pray with us as we pray for Charles. Oh, we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, as we come before you in this moment, we are so aware of the fact that you created your son Charles in your image and likeness. And Father, of course, when you created us, you intended all good things for us. We know that living in a broken and fallen world, sometimes we find difficulties and struggles that come in any number of ways. And here it is, Father God, that your son Charles is suffering with metastatic lung cancer. Father, we know that this is a frightful diagnosis. We know that. We know that when we hear such news, we just begin to worry and grow anxious. And sometimes we forget, Lord, that the first thing that we need to do is to reach out to you, because you are the divine physician. You know everything about us, Lord. You know everything about every aspect of our being, including every cell in our body. Father God, I'm asking in this moment that you would bring your son Charles the peace that surpasses understanding, that he would have a real sense of your presence with him, Lord, knowing that he has nothing to worry about and nothing to fear, that you are always there for him. I want to say this too, Father, because I know so many people right now that are battling really fatal diagnoses. I'm thinking of my friend Rose and her husband Dave. I'm thinking of Marcia and her husband, who is suffering with glioblastoma. I'm thinking of Jennifer Fulweiler and her daughter Lainey. I'm thinking of all of those, Lord, that have dire diagnoses. And you know, Father, you remind us about something in these moments. You remind us that this life is not the end of life. This life, when we take our last breath, is not the end, but it's the beginning. The problem is, Lord, this is the only life we know. Certainly, we have a sense of the spiritual life. Certainly, we know the spiritual life. We know that through our union with you, through our communication with you. But we don't know what death is like. And we don't know what ensues immediately after, outside of the particular judgment. There are so many questions that we have. And the evil one wants to wrap us up in all of those questions. He wants to wrap us up in them, Lord. He wants to hold us captive to worry and to fear. But we know this, Lord. We know that your grace is sufficient for us. And we know, Lord, that this life will end. But the greater reality then is what we will know, how it is that we will live, and what existence, true existence, is all about. And so, Father, for your son Charles here and for all of those that are suffering with dire diagnoses, I'm just asking that they would dig deeply into that sufficiency of grace that is immediately present to them, that they would dig in. Now, we know that even as we pray this part of this prayer, it does not preclude your healing power, Lord. You have the capacity to heal all of these individuals. Glioblastoma need not have the last word. Any other kind of brain cancer need not have the last word. Metastatic lung cancer need not have the last word. You have the last word. You have the only word. And that word is the word made flesh, your son, Jesus Christ. And so we ask now that through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of your son, our Lord Jesus Christ, healing, the most important kind of healing, would come to your people that are suffering. That healing is the healing of the soul. We pray for that, Lord. And we also pray for the healing of the body, if it be your will for this person. In the end, Lord, we surrender all things to you because we know that you do have a will for us, a desire. We do know, Lord, that your plans for us are not for woe, but for hope. And so I'm asking, Father, that through confidence in you and through trust in you, that this prayer would ascend to you and you would receive it, Lord. And you would bring the most important healing to your people. And if that includes physical healing as well, then we say yes, fiat to that too. And so it is that I lift up Charles to you. I lift up Dave to you. I lift up Lainey to you. I lift up Dave to you. I lift up all of those who are helping them and being with them in their time of travail. And I ask, Lord, that any spirit of fear that is trying to grip them would be held captive in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we offer this prayer. And we do offer this prayer in his name. We offer it through the merits of his cross. We offer it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we offer it with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. You know, and that's an important thing for us to remember, isn't it? Because we are incarnated beings, you know, we live in this world, and this world is what we know. But there is a greater world, and that is what prayer is all about. Prayer is about an entry into the life of God. The sacraments take us there. The holy sacrifice of the Mass takes us there. It's an incredible reality that God desires to have union with us, and that this union need not wait until eternal life, but this union actually is meant to begin now, and that we can and we do have the means by which we can experience it. And, you know, we're all going to have our moment, aren't we? Unless Jesus comes again really soon, which I think is highly unlikely, we're all going to face, you know, those final moments of death. We might be aware of it or we might not be aware of it in terms of its coming. I had a dear friend some years ago who passed away in his sleep. You know, I don't know that he even knew until he saw the face of the Lord that he had died to this life, but that he was risen with Christ Jesus. And so it's a beautiful thing, really, to anticipate and to think about. And we ought not to think about it with a morbid perspective. We ought to think about it with a hope-filled perspective, almost with an anticipatory kind of an attitude and perspective. You know, I'm thinking about the fact when you're very, very deep in prayer, you know, when your desire for God is very, very great, when you have those opportunities of feeling, sensing within yourself his very presence, then you know that there is nothing to be afraid of. And, you know, I pray that for all of these individuals, and perhaps for you this day, if you're going through a really rough spot with your health or in any other way, that sufficiency of God's grace is there. You need to know that. You need to dig into it, though. I mean, it takes a cooperation. I've often said that the spiritual life is a joint venture between God and the soul. God gives the grace, but we've got to receive the grace. And we've got to move in the grace. And there's the stumbling block sometimes, right there, moving in that grace. The evil one wants us to wallow in our misery. He wants our eyes to be focused on our situation, our circumstance, our condition. And certainly, our eyes do need to be focused on that to the extent that we have to take care of ourselves. We need to seek all of the means that we can seek to be healed. But God does not want that to be the center of our attention. He wants the center of our attention to be Him. He wants the center of our attention to be the grace that He's giving us in the present moment. All we really have is that grace of the present moment, because the next moment we might perish, even very unexpectedly. A friend told me, at the event this past weekend, that one of our classmates, in excellent physical condition, was a runner and just fantastic, had a massive heart attack and died so unexpectedly. No warning signs. It just happened all of a sudden. And I'm sure that that morning when he woke up, he didn't anticipate that that was going to be the last morning that he would wake up in this life. But so it was. And so none of us know. The only thing that we have is the grace of the present moment, and we want to cling to that grace. We want to move in that grace. Most importantly, we want that grace to move in us, because when that grace moves in us, we move in that grace. We do things that are far beyond our capacities. We do things that we thought we would never be able to do, because we're doing them through the facility of God's life, active within us, which is what grace is. It's a participation in the life of God, and it's a participation of God in the life of man. Isn't that beautiful to contemplate? Right this very moment, God is active in your life, that He is really, truly, abundantly active in your life. Even if you've turned your back on Him, God never turns His back on you. He just never turns His back on you. It's an important thing to realize. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. I'm sitting here and we're talking about God's grace. We're talking about the sufficiency of His grace, but we know that God's sufficiency is an abundance of grace. I'm reminded of a time when I told the Lord the audacity of this. I'm so sorry, Lord. Your daughter is so sorry for her audacity sometimes. But I told the Lord, point blank period, I don't want your sufficiency of grace. I was praying about something and He said, my grace is sufficient for you, my daughter. And I said, Father God, I don't want the sufficiency of grace. I want your abundance of grace. And He said to me in my heart, where St. Francis de Sales says, we hear the voice of God. He says, my daughter, do you not understand? The sufficiency of my grace is infinite. It's an infinitude of grace. Isn't that crazy good? It brings me joy immediately. That's why I'm laughing. I can't even explain it. It's just the joy of the Lord. But I'm holding a book in my hand that is called Experience Grace in Abundance, because that's what I asked for. 10 strategies for your spiritual life. And I want to recommend it to you. I really do. So, you're hearing me talking about God's grace and sufficiency of grace and cooperating with grace and experiencing that grace and moving in that grace and letting that grace move in us and participating in the grace of God. But God is really participating in our lives, talking about all of that. But it occurs to me that maybe the question is, but I don't know how to mine that treasure. I don't know what to do with what those words are that you're saying, Johnette. And this book helps you. That's why I wrote this book. This book helps you. It's 10 strategies, 10 ways to begin to mine that treasury of grace that God wants you to know and to enter into union with him. And this lovely little book is not so little, actually. This book is available for you at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. And I encourage you to get out there and to take the opportunity to purchase this book, because I'll tell you, it's one of my favorite ones. I'll just read to you. I'm not going to make this an infomercial. I promise you, I'm not going to do that. But let me just read to you what the strategies are, because this might whet your appetite a bit. Strategy one is, part one is all on our relationship with God. Strategy one is believe the truth about yourself. Strategy two is engage in prayer. Strategy three is make use of the sacraments. And of course, in each case, I'm delving into those topics. Strategy four, embrace the cross. And that's a really, really big one. That is the chapter that really spoke to me after I had written the book. It's really an incredible thing. Strategy five, hope in God. We were talking about hope a little bit earlier on. Strategy six, live. It begins part two, our relationship with others. Strategy six, live a life of justice. What is justice? What is that? Strategy seven, love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? And how do you love somebody that's absolutely unlovable? And what does it mean to love yourself anyway? Aren't those good questions to ask? They're answered there. Strategy eight, practice forgiveness. Now, this is a big one. This is huge. This is enormous, especially if you have been deeply wounded by somebody, even if that somebody was yourself. And then strategy nine is seek forgiveness from others. What if you've been the offender? What about that? And then strategy 10, know and share your faith. So all of that being said, it's a great book for you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. Currently, all of the phone lines are open. I've just been chit-chatting away here, but I am very eager to hear from you. Yes, I am. So please do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Or if you like, get your message to us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, or text the letters EWTN to 58177. Coming back, light up these phone lines for me. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you today. So Carrie called in, and Carrie wanted to know what the title of the book was that I was mentioning. It is a book that I wrote. It's called Experience Grace in Abundance, 10 Strategies for Your Spiritual Life. Experience Grace in Abundance. Now, if you go on out there to EWTN's religious catalog, that's EWTNRC.com, you can put my name up there in the search engine and the book should come up. Now, the book was titled underneath my former name, Johnette Benkovic, but nonetheless, I think it'll still come up for you. But it's Experience Grace in Abundance. That's all the part that you would probably need to search for anyway. 10 Strategies for Your Spiritual Life. So I really encourage you to get a copy of it. It's quite lovely. And then at the end of each chapter, there are strategies for you to work. And when I say work, it's really to meditate upon. And additionally, coupled with this book, throughout the book, are the beautiful ways for spiritual success, S-U-C-C-E-S-S. It's an acronym, and each one of those letters is a strategy for you to arrive at this union with God. So I hope that it all works out for you. I hope you get a copy of it. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you today. The phone lines are all open. Matthew Gubensky is drumming his nails on the table. I don't like that. So please give me a call. Pedro Quiles out there collecting your questions that you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, encouraging you to do it and to use it. Also available for you is texting. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, how you're listening, and know that message and data rates may apply if you choose to use that option. Pedro Quiles, as I said, doing the retrieving. Matthew on the phones. And the one, the only, the lovely Vanessa Sanchez is there making everything happen. Oh, goody gumdrops. A phone line is ringing, and I'm glad for that. Do give us a call here. You know, so we're talking about this sufficiency of God, which is not a sufficiency at all, but it's an infinitude of grace that is always readily available for you. And I think that one of the great realities about this grace of the present moment is that that sufficiency of grace, that infinitude of grace, is always there 24/7. And so we just have to present ourselves to it. God is presenting himself to us. He's presenting himself to us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens that we need to be able to make it through the rough patch that we might be walking in right now. Now, where we get tripped up is we want answers. You know, we want answers. You know, tell me what to do here, Lord. Tell me what to do there, Lord. Tell me what is your will here, Lord? What is your will there, Lord? And where do those answers come? You know, do we hear it from, you know, a voice in the sky? Well, I've never had that happen to me. But I suppose it does happen from time to time, but it's not happened to me. So I would say that that's a rare occurrence, because we don't hear too many people saying, you know, I heard this audible voice. No. The Lord does speak to us. And where does he speak to us? And how does he speak to us? Well, primarily, the Lord speaks to us in our time of prayer. He speaks to us in our time of prayer. Now, that means something right there, doesn't it? It means that we can't do all the talking in our time of prayer. It means that we have to be quiet and listen. And that's hard, because we're training the ears of our soul to hear the voice of God. Remember what Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, right? You are part of the flock of God. You're part of Jesus' flock. He wants you to know his voice. But the voice, his voice, we become accustomed to as we sit in prayer and we try to be silent and to anticipate it, right? So, you know, and of course the evil one doesn't like this. And so what's the first thing that happens? Well, you sit down to pray. Maybe you're even eager to get there. Your desire is great for the Lord. You sit down and right away everything under the sun comes into your mind. You're thinking about going to the dry cleaners. You're thinking about your grocery list. You're thinking about what you got to do with the kids. You're thinking about, oh, gracious, I've got so much to do today. I've got to clean the house. I wanted to do the laundry. And right away, you know, You are cooperating, not with the grace of God. You're cooperating with the evil one who is trying to distract you, because he doesn't want you to have that holy communion with God. He doesn't want you to hear his voice. He doesn't want you to do his will. He doesn't want you to find the solution to the problems in your life. So prayer is the primary place. You know, prayer is the primary place. And so, you know, gradually becoming accustomed to a regular time of prayer and gradually becoming accustomed to the voice of the Lord, this is what's going to take you the distance. Now, you see, the Lord also speaks to us through sacred scripture. And so paying attention to sacred scripture, the readings of the day, for example, or perhaps you do morning prayer or you do the office of readings, paying attention, not just reading words, but sitting with those words, letting those words move in you, even just opening your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit, lead me to the passage that I should use for my time of meditative prayer today. And he does. And you just start to read. And eventually what will happen is a word will start to pop off the page, or a phrase, or a sentence. And when you find yourself repeating it, which sometimes happens to me, you know, I'll find I'm repeating this over and over again. Oh, I get it. You're trying to get my attention, Lord. Okay, I'm going to sit with this word. What does it mean to sit with a word? It means you sit with the word. It means that you receive it. Let's suppose that, well, let's just go to my favorite passage, Ephesians 1:3-4. Let's just go to Ephesians 1:3. we'll do a little practical experiment here. So here, you do this with me. So I'm going to proclaim this particular passage. I'm just going to do Ephesians 1:3. Here's what the epistle says. This is what St. Paul writes. This is what I'm proclaiming. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Now, I want to tell you something. The Lord entrusted Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4. You've just heard verse 3. He entrusted that to me 44 years ago. Is it 44 years ago? Yeah, it is. It's 44 years ago. 44 years ago, he entrusted that passage to me. I have sat with that passage for 44 years. I have proclaimed that passage from north to south, east to west, in this country, out of this country, on radio, on television. You've heard me use it many, many times. But let's suppose, as you're reading Ephesians 1, you come upon that passage, and perhaps maybe the first thing that grabs you is the word praise. The word praise. Now, let me just share a little something with you. Last weekend, when I was in Pittsburgh, the topic that I was to present on was praise. And so after Mass on Sunday, I went into the Adoration Chapel, and I was sitting with the Lord. And of course, you know, this passage always comes into my mind, and I begin every talk with it. And so there was the passage. And I said to the Lord, well, you know, Father wants me to talk about praise tonight. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. And I asked the Lord a question. I said, Father God, I said, you know, where did praise originate? Where did praise come from? And immediately, he deep in the interiority of my being, I saw where it originated. And what he showed me was, of course, praise originates in the Trinitarian life. It's the praise of the Father for the Son, the praise of the Son for the Father, the praise of the Father and the Son together that spirates the Holy Spirit, and it's the praise of the Holy Spirit for the Father and the Son, and the praise of the Father and the Son for the Holy Spirit, and it's this never-ending reality of God. And then what I began to comprehend was that when you praise God and I praise God, when we praise God, it is an entry into the very praise of the Trinitarian life. It's as if in some way that praise of God, and this is when we're praising with intentionality, not just saying words, you know, not just saying the words, oh, praise you, Jesus, glory to you, Lord, we love you, Lord, we bless you, Lord, we adore you, Lord, you know, and your mind is on that grocery list. No. When we're praising with a heart, it's like a missile, a trajectory that takes us, pierces into the very Trinitarian life, and then our praise gets caught up in the praise of the Trinity. Now, is that a wild thing? All from the word praise. And I just sat with that. I mean, I just sat with that for the entirety of that time before the Blessed Sacrament, letting the Lord work this into me, but at the same time, marveling in it and praising the Lord for showing me where praise originates. So, you know, that's communion with God, right? That's prayer. So you do that with scripture. Maybe another word in that phrase, and I'm coming right to you, Eileen, maybe another word in that phrase is the little word has. I mean, has bestowed on us in Christ, has. Itty bitty word. But it changes the whole meaning of that beautiful verse. It changes it. The tense of has bestowed tells us something the bestowed doesn't tell us by itself. It's just a marvelous thing, and I'm going to let you sit with that. I'm going to let you take that into your time of prayer and ponder that and see what God says to you through it. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to lead you back to the first word of that passage. You're going to start to praise God from the heart. You're going to be lifted up. Lifted up. Your praise will be joined to the praise of the Trinity. That's an amazing thing. That's a transformative thing. You walk away from that, you are not the same as you were prior to it. And praise for you will never be the same either. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. And Eileen called in today. Eileen's a first-time caller. Ringing my first-time caller bell for her. She is in Kansas, and she is listening to us. Let me see how you're listening to us, Eileen, through Divine Mercy Radio. Hello, Eileen. How are you?
Hello, Jeanette. It's so nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you, dear.
Yeah, things have been better, but I'm trying to find the grace in a really, really bad situation.
I'm sorry,
and,
sweetheart.
My daughter and her husband, my son-in-law, went to divorce. My daughter is desperately trying for that not to happen. And he doesn't seem open to that. And so I'm just trying to find out what is the grace? What should I be praying for here?
Eileen, I'll tell you, this is a very difficult situation and not one that is unknown to so very, very many. Of course, you know, we don't know what the reason is, or do you know what the reason is that he is not open to trying to resolve the problems?
What was that? What did you say?
I was saying, you know, he's insisting on a divorce, and I'm wondering what is the reason for the insistence? Is there a reason? Is there another woman involved?
He says not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody's left the home. They're still mm-hmm. there together, parenting their son. Mm-hmm. And he is a wonderful father, absolutely great. And their son has some challenges. He has some ADHD, so they parent him. And so I'm not entirely sure what the reason is.
Yeah. Well, let's just pray that reason might be revealed. You know, we certainly don't know, apparently, what is causing this. But what is your role in this? I think that your role, Eileen, is what it is that you're doing, and you are praying for God's will to be done. And that is how you need to pray. Now, remember this. You know, God's will is perfect. However, man... you know, has a tendency, we as humanity have a tendency to ignore God's will when we get headstrong about something. So another way that you might also incorporate into this prayer is just praying for your son-in-law to be more open, to be more receptive. I remember a long time ago, my sister's marriage was in jeopardy, and it eventually did end in divorce. And it was a similar situation in that the husband just plain wanted out. And, you know, I remember I went to a priest, and I was talking with a priest about this situation. And he said, you know, Jeanette, he said, you know, God has given us free will, and we can use our free will for or against him. We can use our free will for or against each other. We can use it to lead us into deeper relationship with him or to take us out of relationship with him. And he says, but God will not trespass our free will. And this is a hard thing, especially in situations like this. But what Father said is just pray that God will marinate his heart with grace. Just pray that he will marinate his heart with grace so that his stony heart, my brother-in-law's stony heart, would become a heart of flesh. And that might be something for you to focus on when you're praying for the situation, Eileen. Just to picture your son's heart just, you know, swimming, really, in a sea of God's love. And just picturing that as you pray. Because God is not going to trespass his free will. So even though God wants to grant us every spiritual blessing in the heavens that we need to make it through a time or to resolve these issues. If the heart is stony, then that's going to impact our ability to say yes to God. And then God's will, his perfect will, may not be done. But then this is what our God does. He operates through his permissive will. So, you know, we realize and recognize that everything happens in some way. It happens through the permission of God. There's nothing that doesn't happen without the permission of God. In this case, you know, we would say, well, how could God permit this? You know, well, his permissive will exists in the realm of the fact that he's given the gift of free will. And this is not how God would want your son-in-law to use his free will. But the fact of the matter is, his permissive will remains that your son has free will. And so this God, though, in a situation like that, works all things to the good. That's what St. Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 28. For God works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. And that word all is so important. We're just talking a moment ago about how it is that God speaks to us in prayer. It's often through the we words. I mentioned has. Well, all, A-L-L, it is a we word too. But that means that there's nothing for which God does not work to the good. So even this horrible situation, God will work to the good. He will work it to the good. And you hold on to that in hope. And when we pray with hope and pray with confidence in God and trust in God, not in the vacillation of our human emotions, but in full trust and faith that God will work it to the good, then we wait and hope to see what God will do. So, you know, God's will, I'm sure that your son-in-law and your daughter, were they matrimonied?
Yes, they had the wedding mass and everything. It was mm-hmm. beautiful.
So those graces are there. And the graces are there in good times and in bad times. But then again, there has to be that free will action that leads us into clinging to those graces in the bad times. And the bad time, of course, your son-in-law, his situation, you know, he wants out of this marriage for some reason. And he's choosing to let his emotion drive him in a direction and not rely upon the grace to make it through the bad time. So that's what you want to pray for him specifically, is that his heart would be marinated with God's grace and love, that brick and block to receiving what God wants him to receive to make it through would be removed. But pray also with hope that no matter what the outcome is, God will work it to the good. I'm so sorry. You know, these are the moments when you wish you could say, okay, just pray this prayer and everything will be fine. But that's not the way that it goes. I can tell you a prayer, though, that's very effective, especially for what we're praying for your son-in-law. And that is the prayer, the Novena Rosary Prayer to Our Lady Undoer of Knots, K-N-O-T-S. That rosary novena prayer is very, very powerful. You can find it online. You know, just put that into your search engine. You know, Rosary Novena to Our Lady Undoer of Knots. The meditations are beautiful, and you can adapt those meditations for your son-in-law and the specific need that is there. And oftentimes people say that even before the novena is completed, that the issue has been resolved. And in a sense, you know, I'm talking about your son-in-law's heart being a heart of stone, and it is that. But it's also probably all tied up in knots. There's an entanglement here somewhere. And those knots need to be released. And Our Lady's delicate little dainty fingers is the best resource for that. And this novena prayer takes us in there. And just in through the prayer, your hope, your trust, your confidence in God's resolution to this issue will grow stronger. So do you want for us just to say a little prayer now?
Yes, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. I know I've done a whole lot of talking here, so if you have any questions, you're free to ask. But let's just pray. Well, Father, we come into your presence right now, and again, we lift up to you a tough situation. And you know this couple. You created each one of them individually in your image and likeness, and you brought them together so that another in your image and likeness could come into being, and that is their little guy. Father God, this is a family. You want this family to be a holy family. You want this family to be an image of the holy family that you gave us, our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and Jesus. I'm asking, Lord, that you would marinate the hearts of your son here, that he would be open to reconciliation, to resolving the problems. I'm asking you, Mary, our mother, to undo the knots that might be there that's preventing this, any entanglements that could be there. I'm asking, Father, that there would be hope, there would be healing, there would be new life for this marriage. And I pray for Eileen, the efficacy of her prayer. I pray that you would place a healing balm in her heart to bring her peace. We offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. God bless you, Eileen. I'll be praying for your family. God bless all of you. Love you now. Bye-bye.